Military and Veterans Affairs to order. It is 1:03 p.m. Thursday, March 14th, 2019. We're in the state capitol, the Grunberg Room, room 120. Present are Representative Thompson, Representative Kopp, Representative Rauscher, Representative Jackson, and Representative Tarr. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Let's start with housekeeping. Please turn off your cell phones. Before we begin, I would like to introduce my committee aide, Deneen Tuck, and thank Butch Garber with House Records and Nate Williams, who is moderating the meeting. Today we have two items to consider. The first item is HB 71, the State Personnel Act, Veterans Experience. So Representative Story and Greg, would you like to join us at the table?
Thank you, Chair Ledoux and committee members. This is Andy Story.
This is the second hearing on HB 71. We have Pam Day, Manager of Recruitment Services and Classification for the Office of Military and Veterans Affairs, and Verdi Bowen, Director, Office of Veterans Affairs, online for any questions. So do you or your aide, Mr. Smith, want to make any further comments?
We're just here to ask any clarifying questions. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Any questions or comments from the committee? Well, then, what is the will? At ease.
Move the bill. Chairwoman Ledoux, I make a motion to move House Bill 71, State Personnel Act, Veterans Experience, from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Hearing no objections, HB 71 passes from the House Military and Veterans Affairs Committee, and we'll have a brief at ease to sign the folder. So the second item for consideration is sponsor substitute for HB 3, state land sale, PFD voucher, and assign. As I mentioned, there is a sponsor substitute. Is there anyone to make the motion for the sponsor substitute?
I'll move it. Madam Chair?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. If you're prepared for a motion.
I'm prepared.
Madam Chair,
are you ready?
Madam Chair, I move sponsor substitute for House Bill number 3, Work Orders 31-LS0028/M before the committee to be the working bill before the committee this time.
Thank you.
I'll object for discussion purposes.
All right. Representative Rauscher, this is your bill, and I think you have your aide, Darren Brees, here to explain the differences between the two bills.
Yeah. Just for record, Darrell will be on the phone.
Right. I meant that. Excuse me.
Sure.
So, Darrell, are you with us?
I am. I'm here.
Yes. Would you like to explain the differences between the initial bill and the sponsor substitute?
Certainly. Thank you, Madam Chair. So the Chair made a couple of changes to the bill and the sponsor substitute for clarity and for better understanding of what the intention of the bill was.
Darren, can you introduce yourself for the record, just to keep everything really clear?
Certainly, I apologize, Madam Chair. My name is Darrell Brees, Chief of Staff of Representative George Rauscher. Section 1 of the bill, we made no changes to from the original version of the bill. It stays the same. The change in statute there is just for clarity purposes that was being made. Section 2, we removed a reference to Section A of the bill just for clarification. because it's no longer just A that the veterans definition applies to that's contained in Section 2. It includes Section F of the bill as well. Section 3 includes a new paragraph, Section F, which is Section 4 of the bill, by reference to a Section F, which lists all the discounts allowed for use by a veteran or once in a lifetime. Section 4 is where we make some, where the bill introduces some new language. First, we change the use of the word individual to the word veteran, just to clarify and better communicate the intent of the bill is that veterans are the ones who receive the discount being offered. And later on line 20 of Section 4 of the bill, subsection G is added. It limits the use of the amount in combination with any other discounts to just one discount can be applied for a land purchase by a veteran. Section 5 of the bill, we add reference to the state land sales that were listed in the previous version of the bill to include statute number 3805.060, which deals with the sale of recreational cabin sites, which was not included in the original version of the bill. And then Section 6 of the bill, we have no changes to.
Right. Does that about sum up the changes then? Representative Rauscher, it looks like you want
yes,
to make
that sums up all of our changes. And if you'd like, I'll just introduce the bill, let everybody know what it's about, if that'd be good.
Well, let's see whether or not the objector wants to remove his objection.
I remove my objection.
Thank you. With that, we will adopt the sponsor substitute version as the working document for this bill. So, Representative Rauscher, go ahead. Incidentally, we have a number of people here to answer questions. We've got Genevieve Wojtuzik, which I know I'm mispronouncing your name, and my apologies for that. Legislative liaison for the PFD office, Ann Weske, PFD director, will be able to speak to the fiscal note. Dan Sadler, DNR legislative liaison / communications director, is here to answer any questions. We've also got Marty Parsons, the director, division of mining, land, and water, online. And Verdi Bowen, Director of Veterans Affairs, online to answer any questions. So go ahead, Representative Rauscher.
Thank you very much, Chairman Ledoux. And I would like to thank you personally for hearing this bill and the committee for allowing me to present it. Alaska has an abundance of three things. We have land, PFDs, and veterans. House Bill 3 means to bring these three together. House Bill 3 encourages the sale of state lands, thus creating growth, allowing for the use of an individual's permanent fund dividend to purchase land. It will encourage veterans to use the statutory discount in combination with their PFD assigned to purchase land. Alaskans who have resided in the state for at least 1 year immediately prior to the opening of the land disposal and who are at least 18 years of age can participate. The state regularly offers surplus lands for sale either by auction or over-the-counter sales. The House Bill 3 aims to make these land sales more accessible to Alaskans by allowing the assignment of the PFD by individuals to pay for the purchase of land. I urge your support for House Bill 3. Daryl, as you have been told, is my chief of staff. He's on the phone. He has already walked you through part of the sectional. He can walk you through the entire sectional right now. And if you have any questions, I appreciate it. I just want you to know that the reason for the sponsor statement was it was just confusing language. And so we definitely had to put in a substitute just to clarify things, even to get a fiscal response because they were confused at what it was actually trying to say. So that's just the main reason for the sponsor substitute. And I just thank you for this opportunity to present it today.
Thank you, Representative Rauscher. So do I understand this bill is it doesn't necessarily give the veteran any further discount by using their PFD, but it simply lets them assign their PFD for, I'm going to have to bring donuts, I guess.
Well, I'll clarify a few things. First off, you, anyone in this room, can, in this bill, will be able to use your PFD to purchase land. Okay, that's one thing. Number two, the veterans will get a discount. It'll be a 30% discount. So when they go to the bidding, they'll get a 30% discount when they go to purchase their land. I just wanted you to know that.
So
there is a discount for veterans, but there isn't one for us.
It's 33 and a third.
The gist of the bill, actually, is the discount for the veterans. I guess I'm confused as to why using or assigning your PFDs, I mean, people get their PFDs in their bank accounts or with a check, and so they've got the PFDs, whatever the PFD is going to end up being, and so what's the difference if they assign their PFD or simply write a check based upon what they have in the bank with their PFD?
And Madam Chair, if it pleases the committee, I'd like Daryl to take over with the questions and answers. He's very familiar with the entire process, and it would probably be better off if you were to ask those questions to him and keep them through him unless I need the help.
Okay. Daryl, did you hear that question?
I did, Madam Chair, and I'd be happy to answer the question. My name is Daryl Brees, Chief of Staff to George Rauscher, for the record. Existing statute already provides veterans with a 25% discount for the purchase of state land that they can use once in a lifetime for purchasing land for non-commercial or industrial use. What this bill does is we're extending a special extension of that discount to 33%, not 30%, to one-third off of the purchase of land if the veteran applies the dividend to their dividend towards the purchase of land. And what happens is it just becomes an automatic transfer then from the Department of Revenue directly to DNR. So it takes out the need for the person to write a check to DNR, basically, after they receive their PFD, if they assign it directly to DNR to make the payment on their property. So we're just trying to make the step easier and process easier for people to use. And that's the mechanism that's in place for veterans to take advantage of to gain access to land in Alaska.
All right, so I'm not great in reading fiscal notes, but does that add
$1,800 a month? I mean, a year.
Okay, so I guess I'm not seeing why that makes things any easier, really, for the veteran. I mean, I understand the advantage of going from 25 to 33 and a third. I'm not so sure what it does to use the PFD for it. But maybe that's just me. Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I'm just thinking, I actually had purchased 5 acres through the over-the-counter land disposal from the state, and it's I guess the mechanics of this someone will have to figure out, because you can just go in and kind of like log in and very easy to do. And so I guess, yeah, the mechanics would have to sort of line up so that person is otherwise eligible for a PFD. So that would be established, I guess, through their application, and then be able to go and look at land allotments or parcels that are available after that. I guess, Daryl, maybe you could walk through that. So it's I apply for a PFD. I do the checkbox that I want to use the PFD towards a land purchase. Once that application is in as an active status application, then I could go to the DNR over-the-counter land sales and select a parcel for purchase. Is that how that would work?
and or use it to pay for the land you already purchased if you're making payments on that property. So the Section 5 of the bill allows the Department of Revenue to create on the dividend application online a line where you can just direct your a portion or all of your PFD towards paying off that property. So you can then make a payment on the property to pay off the property that you purchased from the state.
And, Madam Chair, if I could follow
Go
up.
Ahead.
So under that scenario, absent this piece of legislation, it seems like the veteran may have selected the 25% discount. So that would have already been applied to the purchase price. So separate from that, then this is creating a mechanism where a PFD could be applied to the payments that are due on that purchase?
No, because if you look on line 20 on page 2 at the end of section 4, it clearly states that a discount under this section may not be combined with another discount. So the 25% discount, if the veteran took that on the land purchase they already did, then they would not qualify for the 33% purchase on that parcel of land. It would have to be applied to a different parcel of land that they purchased if they wish to purchase another parcel.
Right, and I guess I'm just saying under a scenario. Oh, pardon me, Madam Chair. Thank you. Under a scenario where I already own the parcel because I purchased it, say, last year, but now, you know, I want to be able to use this opportunity to apply my dividend against it. You're thinking that they probably wouldn't, when they purchased it, have used the other discount option. So that's when you would apply the 33% discount.
Possibly, through the chair, possibly, Representative Carr. Line 14 on page 2, it says that sales, that the percent of sales, the one-third off of the sale price for veterans is only on land sold after August 1st, 2019. So if it was land that was bought last year, for instance, that wouldn't apply. So it has to be land that was purchased after August 1st, 2019, and we're hoping this bill passes by then, so they could take advantage of this 33% discount at that time.
Thank you.
Do I have further questions? Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I bought a five-acre plot on a lake in 1985, and it seemed like a veteran got a 50% discount at that time. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but... Does existing statutes establish it already at 25%, or what is there at the present time?
Through the chair to Representative Thompson, if you look at section 1 of the bill,
Darrell, you need to, because there is Representative Rauscher and you talking, for the sake of the recorder, if you could identify yourself.
Each time.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Darrell Brees. Section 1 of the bill, Representative Thompson, lays out what the existing statute is for the discount for veterans. It's an eligible veteran is entitled to a discount of 25% on the purchase of state land sold under this chapter. The old previous statute listed out these sections, but since we're adding a new section for this sale, we had to include the whole of the definition for the chapter and increases clarity. So the existing discount that's available to veterans is 25%. That's a straight purchase. If they use their PFD under this legislation, it'll be a one-third discount for purchases after August 1st, 2019.
All right. Thank you very much.
Any further questions? Representative Jackson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Did we say Verdi Bowen is on the line?
Yes, he
is. So, Verdi, what is the discount percentage for veterans? And if they have a disability, I'm just wondering if this 25% would be added to whatever discount veterans already have?
Matt, this is Bernie Bowen, the Director of Veterans Affairs, through the chair to Representative Jackson. The only discount that is on land purchases right now is 25%, whether it doesn't take into account whether they're disabled or not.
follow it?
Go ahead.
Thank you. So this is wonderful because there is quite a few homeless veterans. Not to say this will instantly help, but I'm curious. Could several veterans purchase land to build a, say, multi, like a sixplex, per se?
Representative Rauscher speaking. In reference to Representative Jackson's question, we did have a problem with the original bill, and it came out to where it was kind of construed that if three veterans went together with a 33% discount, they would basically own the land for free. So we clarified the language to where that cannot happen. You will still only get one veteran's 30% or 33% discount, though I'm sure multiple people could probably eventually own the property, yes. And the part about, like, say the homeless, they don't have to have a bank account. This just comes, they just direct their PFT to make the payments for them on this land. And that's kind of nice about it. And it works for all of us here, not just veterans.
Representative Thompson.
Representative Jackson, I think if you read the on line 8 of page 1, it says that you can get this discount for if you're buying the land for a use other than commercial or industrial. So if they're building a sixplex, I think that would be considered a commercial use.
Hello, Madam Chair. No, I wasn't looking at it being because I did read that.
Okay.
Okay, so if you had a condominium and each veteran owned their property, right? But anyway, follow up. So the is the PFD serving as like some kind of guarantor?
George Rauscher again, and I'm asking the question to be re-asked.
So using the PFD seems like is helping in some kind of way. So I'm wondering, does that give the state like security somehow a payment?
I think through the chair, yes. You, Representative, you have a very good point that there will be an assurance that it will be paid through multiple PFDs, but it will be paid. And I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Further questions? Well, I've got a question, actually. And maybe I'm reading the fiscal note incorrectly, because there's a reason I'm not on finance. I don't see anything in this fiscal note about the impact that giving a 33 1/3% discount will have on the state coffers versus giving a 25% discount. Is that in this fiscal note? And if it is, where is it? And if it's not, why isn't it there?
Madam Chair, this is Representative George Rauscher again. I'd like to ask Dan. I don't know. Who wants to? We went through this on the phone. Dan was there. He might be able to answer it.
Okay. Can you?
Marty? Okay. Marty.
Marty. Okay. Marty, are you there?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. This is Marty Parsons. I'm the Director of the Division of Mining, Land, and Water. As I understand it, the and correct me if I'm wrong, the fiscal note for SSB H3 is not before the committee. Is that correct?
The fiscal note for, well, I've got a fiscal note for HB3. It doesn't specifically say the sponsor substitute for that.
You buy it outright, there shouldn't be anything.
Madam Chair, this is Marty Parsons, Director of the Division of Mining, Land, and Water. As I understand it, and if Dan Sadler's in the room, perhaps he can clarify that The committee has not been given the SSHB3 fiscal note, which does identify the reduction to the income that might, or the revenue that might be received from DMLW for sales of land under this current bill.
So, is there a fiscal note floating in the ether out there someplace? And I see Representative Sadler shaking his head. So he initially punted to you, but maybe you could come up and enlighten us.
It's not representative anymore.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Dan Sadler, legislative liaison for DNR. My apologies to the chairman of the committee. Yes, there is a fiscal note floating in the ether, as you say. It is a fiscal note from the Department of Natural Resources, Mining, Land, and Water Division, written to the sponsor substitute. And it does have a more accurate reflection of the effects financially in the state of the sponsor substitute before you. The fiscal note you have before you is from the Department of Revenue, which does not reflect the changes in the sponsor substitute. It's to the original version of the bill.
Okay, so we will, at some, now that we've adopted the sponsor substitute, we will be getting that fiscal note. Thank you. Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Out of curiosity, everything in the present fiscal note that we have at hand is referencing if they utilize their PFD to make the payments. If somebody just buys it outright with a 25% discount, is there a fiscal note in it or not? Please address that with your new fiscal note if there is one.
Who wants to take that question?
Well, Madam Chair, Representative Rauscher here, and I don't want to take the question, but I think what this represents in the paper that you have in front of you, which is a fiscal note for the original, is 10,000.7. Is that what you're talking about? And then the 1,800 following it every year?
Yes.
Those are for software changes.
For the PFD.
To change the PFD program,
okay,
to accept this software entity and then to monitor it. I don't understand that one myself, but I am going to answer your question. To monitor it every year, I don't know how you separate these two boxes from the entire cost of monitoring the page, but apparently to monitor these boxes, these two boxes, it's going to be $1,800 a year to make sure that it follows suit, is my understanding. If that will answer your question, I think someone maybe from, is here someone here for that? I don't know.
Come on up. And please identify yourself.
For the record, this is Ann Weske, the Permanent Fund Dividend Division Director.
So there's a question.
Madam Chair, Representative Thompson. So, the costs that we reported were initially for setting up the program, but the ongoing costs every single year, every program that gets added to the application costs a bit. We basically put in 15 hours a year, which to us felt very reasonable for the amount of time that it takes. As you guys know, we update the application every year. These new programs, again, have to be updated, written in new languages as technology advances. It also includes a lot of the reporting that is typically required. Typically, people don't ask for a service but then not want any statistics. So we end up supplying a number of reports, I'm guessing, to possibly DNR, file exchanges, and then also there's a bit of time that I didn't really note in here, but once a program becomes a part of the PFD, we also have public contact. We have to answer to the program. We have to make sure that our technicians are knowledgeable at some level to be able to speak to what individuals might see on the application. So that's the 15 hours that I put in a year, again, which we felt was a reasonable amount, not knowing exactly what the impact will be.
Thank you. Does that answer your question, Representative?
Madam Chair, pretty much. I'm sure then that DNR is going to have their floating fiscal note, and I assume that there won't be any involvement of the PFD if somebody buys it outright, is what I understand. So how many are going to be buying them outright? They won't be doing a PFD payment. It's an interesting scenario, but they have to set up the program. If only one person utilizes it, I'm sure, so they're going to have a cost.
Thank you. I notice, Representative Kopp, I'm not sure that you've got a question, but you look like you're formulating one.
So I guess it would be for DNR. So maybe Mr. Sadler.
Thank you,
Madam Chair. Yeah. Mr. Sadler, thank you for being here today, sir. Good to see you. So my understanding is the land sale program is basically the whole goal of that program is to get land, state land, into private hands. And we're trying to facilitate that in every way we can. Is that correct?
The Chair, Representative Kopp, yes. One of the priorities of the governor is to make sure that private land is expanded. We transfer public land into private land hands so it can be developed and utilized for the benefit of Alaskans. Yes.
Thank you. And through the Chair, Mr. Sadler, I've heard that actually has been really hard to do and that there has been rumblings from DNR in the past that maybe we should just end the program because it is hard to get land into private hands, and it's a lot of administrative work for very little return. Is that correct?
Through the Chair, Representative Kopp, DNR's Mine, Land, and Water does do an annual recreational remote parcel sale. We make it available through auction, and the parcels that do not sell are then made available to Alaskans on an over-the-counter basis. We think it's a valuable program. It provides Alaskans the opportunity to own a piece of Alaska. Yes, some of the most accessible land has been purchased. There are costs associated with purchasing land in that you have to pay for the survey and survey costs and so forth. One of the benefits of Representative Rauscher's bill is that the discount, the one-third discount provided to veterans who apply through the permanent fund dividend, will get a reduction on the cost, not only the value of the land, but also on the assay survey cost. So it's an increasing benefit. It may be a little bit of a challenge, but the benefit is certainly worth it.
Thank you, Mr. Sadler. So, Madam Chair, I guess where I'm going with this is I think this is a great bill because we're addressing a problem. It's very hard to get land into private hands. And Mr. Rauscher, Representative Rauscher, has brought before us just one more tool to help with that. And so addressing your question about the fiscal note and the reduction in the cost, I think the state's more interested in just getting this land into private hands, and it's actually wishes it could do more acres, but it's just really, really hard to facilitate that. So thank you.
So has this is to Mr. Sadler. So if the state wants to get more land in private hands, and this program isn't used to the extent that it could be, would it make more sense to give everybody in the state, not just veterans, a discount? I mean, just reduce the price of the land?
Madam Chairman, that's certainly a policy call that the legislature can make. If they would choose to discount the cost of land to every Alaskan, that's certainly within your purview. Yes. And I would actually, in answer to a previous question, what is the net benefit? You asked the question whether somebody could just go down with a check in hand and purchase land or make whatever offer versus being able to use your permanent fund dividend as a checkoff. Representative Rauscher is correct. There's just makes it that much easier to begin the process of purchasing. If you can check off your permanent fund and apply that towards purchase of land, that's one less step. That's one degree easier to purchase land.
So what happens if you're thinking about purchasing land and so you check off that box on your permanent fund dividend application and then you decide that you're not going to purchase the land this year?
Through the Chair, this is Darrell Briefs, if I can answer that question. So you don't necessarily have to check off the box the year you initially purchased the land. You can check the box off the year after you purchased the land. So if you were purchasing land in 2019, the land sale, you can check your box off in 2020 that you're going to use it and then move forward from there. So either way works for you.
So do I understand correctly, if you're purchasing the land, let's say in 2019, you don't have to pay the full price of the land, you can pay it in payments, and then in 2020, you could apply your permanent fund dividend to it. Is that correct?
Dan Sadler to Marty Parsons.
Go ahead, Marty.
This is Marty Parsons, Director of the Division of Mining, Land, and Water. The DNLW does have quite a robust land sale program that we've had in place since 2000. We do have contracts. Many people do carry 10, 15, 20-year contracts to pay off their land, so they make an annual.
Okay, thank you.
About 85% of the people who purchase land through our land sales program have them under contract where they make monthly, quarterly, or in some cases annual payments depending on what the stipulations are in the contract.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, does anybody else have any questions for either Representative Rauscher? Go ahead, Representative Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So using your permanent fund dividend, is that like other than putting a 20% down per se? Okay, it looked like you don't understand. So when you purchase property, we normally put down, you know, okay, you got it?
This is Representative Rauscher. I think I understand what you're saying. Can you use it for the down payment to start the process of owning the land? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I'm asking if that's the benefit of using the permanent fund dividend.
I'm going to have to refer back, Mr. Representative Rauscher, I'm going to have to refer back to Marty Parsons because he's held in more of the contracts than I've even seen. So if you would, Marty, please answer that.
Thank you.
Representative Jackson, through the chair, this is Marty Parsons, Director of the Division of Mine, Land, and Water. There's a 5% down payment to start the contractual obligation with the state, and I believe that this bill is a mechanism simply to do an electronic transfer for that PFD dividend against that contractual obligation.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Through the chair, this is Darrell Bruce again to answer Representative Jackson's question. This is towards the purchase price, so you'd have to come up with a down payment to set up the contract with DNR, and then the PFD would be used to make the payment. That's repeating what Mr. Parsons said.
Thank you.
Any further questions for either Representative Rauscher or any of the other folks who are here to answer questions?
Representative Rauscher again. When we were talking about this, we discussed this on the phone over the weekend and tried to get an idea on what the fiscal note actually should represent as far as the bill was actually trying to convey. We had talked about the low number of veterans that have actually worked with the percentage that they have now. It's a very low number. So I think that anything, in fact, we've also talked about the pieces of property that are being made available are not as juicy, so to speak, as the ones that used to be there. So it's really getting harder and harder to get people to want to get involved. And I think this will help aid in working with both those problems right now. And I just thought I would add that as an FYI.
Thank you. All right. Well, if there are no further questions, I am going to open up public testimony. So, is there anybody in the room here for public testimony? And is there anyone online? I see one person online at the moment, and that is Ed Martin. Ed, do you want to identify yourself for the record and tell us if you're testifying for yourself or if you're affiliated with any organization?
Madam Chair, this is Ed Martin, Jr. from Cooper Landing, Alaska. I represent myself and my family. Just a little history on my family. My dad has passed on, but he was a pioneer homesteader before statehood. He was one of the homesteaders that did not get his mineral rights, although he staked during a territory. And he voted for statehood. He was very much a patriot American, submariner. And after statehood, he got a state patent. He didn't get the mineral rights. And so subsequently, my dad was very much supportive of the permanent fund dividend and was actually very instrumental in getting the vote we had in 99. Now, I'm second generation. I'm a son of a homesteader. I grew up on the homestead, and at the time Dad homesteaded, there wasn't even a parks highway. Now, I am definitely in full support of this bill or any bill that will put land in the hands of the people. We currently live under a government-subsidized economy, a three-legged stool, as some people will frame it as, of which is teetering right now. This question was brought up to our past governor. Why is it there's only 1% in private ownership in land in Alaska? He thought it was terrible. And yet he did nothing, and this legislature did nothing over the course of 3 or 4 years now. Had he moved on some kind of land sale bill in any fashion, whether it's a permanent fund being applied for Alaskans or making it available to other investors and or settlers, for which Article 8, Section 1 of our state constitution states clearly it is the policy of the state of Alaska to encourage the settlement of its land. Now, I grew up in the Mad Valley, and many of you representatives are from Anchorage and the surrounding areas. Guess what, folks? When you go home this next time, just look out your door when you get home and look around. All that land that now is in private ownership had to have come from the government. The government purchased Alaska for 3 cents an acre. When I worked for the Kenai Borough, the land that the borough got under the Statehood Act for community expansion and development was valued at $100 an acre. Now, as far as I'm concerned, it was good testimony today. And I really appreciate those that are talking about this, not only for the veterans, which my father was one, that brought him to Alaska because it was the last frontier. You know, folks, the Homestead Act, the Mining Act is what made America great, coming across the West. It, actually, the last person under in 86 that got any federal land was at Stony River, and his name was Ken Dearnoff. He got 80 acres. I can tell you right now.
Mr. Martin, could you direct your testimony to this specific bill?
Yes. Anything that's in this bill, ma'am, I would support, and whether it's the details, I think we get sort of bogged down in the details, ma'am. I would like to see this pushed through this year, along with one other bill, in which you testified on.
Mr. Martin, we got to keep your testimony to this bill. It sounds like you are fully in support of the bill, and I appreciate your being on the line to testify. Thank you very much.
Is there any questions?
I don't think so, but thank you again.
Thank you, ma'am. Have a good day, folks.
You too. Anybody else online? Well, not seeing or hearing anybody, I am going to close public testimony. I'm going to set this bill aside till we've seen the fiscal note and had some time to consider this. And it is now 11 minutes to 3, and this concludes our meeting of the Military and Veterans Affairs Committee for the day. We are now adjourned.